This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
You can follow us on Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
And we've now got a Patreon, where you can access our weekly after show, which we'll be recording for the first time today.
Woo!
Yes! Head to patreon.com/gaysrevoltingpod for more info.
Well, welcome back, everyone.
Hi!
We have all of our regular hosts.
Yeah, it's been so long.
It has been a long time. We have the only person that comes close to being as gay as Elton John, Thomas.
Thank you, darling.
You're very welcome. And we are so lucky to be joined by the representative of the White Southside Society, Kyle. Hi. And lastly, he's both the peak and the pit of the week, Luke.
They stole that from me. Yeah. I've been told that plenty of times.
How are you all?
Yeah, good.
Hi.
What's going on?
Kyle and I had a nice excursion on the weekend.
Oh my god, yeah. People totally thought we were a couple.
I know. I wasn't complaining. I was actually telling people we were. Oh. Everyone thought I was his daddy. all four of us got invited to the premiere of the Rocket Man Elton John movie. Unfortunately, you two weren't able to come. But Kyle and I had a cute little Southside date.
Yeah.
And the dress code was...
anything but ordinary.
Anything but ordinary. And I had this amazing coat. I don't know if you saw the pictures.
Was so good.
I'll be honest, I borrowed that off Karen from finance.
Oh, wow. It's
amazing. It's like a one-off gun shy coat.
It was so heavy. When you gave it to me, 12
kilos.
Holy crap.
Oh, I love gun shy products.
They're amazing. So amazing, yeah.
It looked like Liberace had like slaughtered a small village
of marmots.
And then made a coat out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably what happened.
I had a pretty exciting week. I posted to you guys that my boss had a 50th birthday party.
Yes, that's
at the Spiegel tent. So it's like circus themed.
This is the Collingwood Spiegel tent, yeah.
Yeah, there were like burlesque performers, and me and the psychologist got up and did quite possibly the widest rendition of Gangster's Paradise.
Oh my gosh.
I hope never leaks onto the internet. Because it was one of those things where I secretly thought, maybe I'm really good at rapping. I just never
Oh, you actually sang it. You didn't just mime it or something
that. No, we like wrote verses. And rapped it. And like, despite my skin color, I like surprisingly lack quite a bit of rhythm.
Right.
And am not very good at rapping.
Yeah.
So... that was a learning experience.
Nice.
I also have this new thing where my right testicle has been itching for like 3 days.
Wow. While we're on topic.
It kind of hurts.
Have you checked it?
No, not in like a
Let's do a check on the podcast. Yeah, pull it out.
It's a new journey for me, and I'm excited to see where this tingle goes.
Nice. So I had an old school friend add me on Facebook last week, which I have not spoken to, honestly, since I left high school.
Spooky.
And like, I was just like going through their page and stuff to see who they're still friends with. And I was just like, oh, this is interesting. And then I fell into a big hole of like just going through old school stuff.
Oh, you got the, like, old, the old school
Yeah, I found like old photos and stuff. And then like, I was just like, let's check in on all these people. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, I really miss these people. And like, oh, I wish I was back at school. And then I thought about it. I was like, no, actually, I don't wish that I was back at school whatsoever. Mm. I feel like I've sort of blocked out a lot of the horrible stuff that happened at school. Yeah. And I only remember all the good stuff, which I mean, I guess is good. Like, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to have my bully in my classroom for like four straight years. Jeez. And I was just like, I wonder what he's up to.
Did you look at him?
I stalked him out.
Oh, did you?
I'm going to see where this guy is at. Because he was horrid to me. Like, this guy every single day was like at me. Just like, and I just didn't get it. I remember one day I came to school and he was standing in front of my locker and he stepped away from it and it was on fire. And I was just like,
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, why do you hate me so much?
On
fire.
And he still stayed at the school.
And he was still at the school. Like, like a lot of the time, it was just cussing me out, calling me faggot, like telling
me
to
fuck off. He called you faggot.
Yeah, every single day of my like high school life. But yeah, so I stalked him out because I was just like, let's see where this motherfucker is at.
And?
Still living at his mom's house with the same girlfriend from high school. Yeah. They both.
How many babies?
Well, they don't have any babies yet, but they both have like the same dress sense and the same hairstyle and everything. And I'm just like, I'm glad. That, like, that happened to you because that is not me. Like, I'm so happy that I moved away from all of that.
The ultimate revenge.
So did you add him as a friend?
Hey, you want to catch up?
I think you should.
We should have him as a guest on the show.
How's it going?
I just think because I, unfortunately, when I was in high school, I was a bit of a bully to other kids because of me like trying to figure out my identity, basically figuring out how to survive in the wild lands of public high schools.
Yeah.
And the name of the game was just to, I hate using the term punch downwards, but by becoming a bully, I kind of avoided being bullied.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something I'm proud of. And life definitely paid me back for it. I believe in karma.
Later down the track, it was just like, hey, we got you now.
Life has not been kind to me post-high
I wonder if there's
school.
Poor innocents like Facebooking you, wondering where you're at.
And they do. High school people add me all the time. And a few of them listen to the show, which is really great. And I've messaged them too and just gone, I was a straight up dick.
Yeah. That's good.
In that you can for do that. Most of my high school life. Mm. But I think a lot of people look at where I'm at now and the things that I'm doing and realize, this was all bubbling away back then.
Yeah.
But when you're in Adelaide in a public school where someone got pushed through a window on a weekly basis and stuff, it's not really like your Steiner school environment to thrive. You know, you end up being a person that you never really intended to be, I feel.
And do you think when you're bullying, you know that you are a bully, or is it just reflecting back at your past that you see that you were a bully?
Like, I think I knew because I was very specific in who I bullied. It was all sort of social engineering. I knew who was above me in the social ladder and who was below me.
Yeah, right.
And the way for me to get through those years with the least amount of damage was to,
like, survival.
Was to know who was socially below me.
Mikey, sorry, just to go back to you for a sec. Do you still feel like you carry some of the emotional trauma that you suffered at school? Is that still with you?
To an extent, yes.
Or maybe put it this way, do you think it sort of shaped any of
like
who
character
you are
building.
Today? Do you?
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Not necessarily character building, but do you still have anxieties or you know, feelings that started then that you've not been able to get rid of?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of my social anxiety that came out after I left high school, that was a big factor, like being bullied at school. That was a big factor why I had, like, I was 19 and I had a full mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Like, it was really intense to the point, like, I was in bed for 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't leave the house. Like, even someone calling my phone, like, gave me the worst panic attack ever.
Yeah.
I never really, like, connected the two until, like, after I had seen a therapist. And they were just like, what was your school life like? And having people attack you every single day makes you,
horrific.
Like, not trust anyone and not want to be around people because it's just like, well, if they could do it, who else
Yeah,
will?
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely.
And then, so Luke, hearing that, do you ever think about how that might still affect them today?
I don't feel remorse towards Mikey specifically.
Like, do you ever think about like how it might be affecting them now? Or is it more about the guilt of doing it at the time and how they might have felt then?
Like, there are very specific people that I know I was quite nasty towards who I've looked up on Facebook and like spoken to post high school and know that they're doing okay and there's no bad blood. Like, I never set anyone's locker on fire, just to clarify. Yeah. It was more like being a part of the game, really. But I think realizing the effects that high school had on my mental health as well, as soon as I was outside of that social dynamic of, you know, in the real world, there isn't really a group of people that you're forced to be around every single day that you fight for your position within. And you know, once that construct was taken away from me, I realized, oh, you just have to be on your own merits, a person, and realize that a lot of that bullying and sort of nastiness and clickiness was ultimately not worth it because it meant nothing in the real world. And I know there are lasting repercussions for people that are bullied because it's your formative years.
Yeah.
Knowing the person that I am now, I know that I could have been actually more of a helpful influence in my school. Yeah. I could have been that kid.
Use your powers for good.
Yeah. Sort of like this podcast
social
now.
Engineer or something.
Yeah. Knowing that I was good at reading a room and reading a scenario and knowing where people were socially and knowing what I know about myself now, I could have really made a difference at my small Adelaide public school. But I chose not to because, unfortunately, I had to survive myself. It wasn't a situation where I felt like I had the safety to try to be that other type of person. Hopefully it's different for kids now.
So I think it's definitely something that schools are working on a lot more. I saw a movie a couple of weeks ago. When you know it was one of those shit movies that you just pop up on Netflix and you're like, I'll just watch this, whatever. Yeah. It was fucking awful, but there was a quote in it and I have just not stopped thinking about it since. But it was called The World's End, and it was a British movie, and these like middle-aged guys decide to go back to their hometown to do this pub crawl. And one of them, who was like the nerd of the group that got bullied a lot in school, they're sitting around at the pub, and one of the bullies from school who still lived in the town came up to the table and said, oh, hey mate, do you mind if I just take this chair? And he just froze up and didn't say anything. And one of the others had to say, oh, yeah, that's fine, take it, whatever. And then he burst into tears and they said, oh, are you remembering how he used to bully you? He said, that guy tormented me for years. I was so scared of coming to school and that sort of shit. I'm not crying because he bullied me. I'm crying because he doesn't even remember who I am. He's just come up. I don't even like register on his radar. And it made me think, fuck, like there's probably situations where people don't realize how much of an effect they had on
someone's life,
people's lives at school. My school, I've sort of touched on it before on the podcast, was fucking awful. And I definitely am still trying to recover from a lot of the stuff that happened then. Primary school, I was getting called gay or fag or whatever on a daily basis from grade two, which is I didn't even know what it meant when they started saying it. And I didn't even know if they knew what it meant. I remember the last day of primary school, so that's grade six in Victoria, the teacher had given us all like a mug with the school's logo on it and it was full of jelly beans. And I would, when I was walking, because we'd all walk home, and when I was walking home, I'd always make sure that I left after these guys that would bully me. And one time I'm walking home and they'd stopped, and so I was walking towards them across the road. They're like, oh, Jasper's, come over here, mate. Like, last day of school. Oh, congratulations. You know, like, walk with us. And I was like, oh, cool. Maybe they're going to be cool because it's the last day of school. Yeah. They gathered around me in a circle, pushed me to the ground, and then they'd fill their pockets with the jelly beans from the mugs and just like started piffing jelly beans at me while I was crying on the ground. And then I had this summer thinking, well, cool, well, I'm going to a new school now.
That's
and
thought,
okay, cool, I'm going to make new friends. But every single guy from my school went to that high school. So it went from being 30 guys bagging the shit out of it me every day to a few hundred, guys, 300 guys.
That's it.
And they, and that within, you know, a couple of weeks, they told everyone, oh, yeah, he's the faggot. He's he's gay. And as Luke was saying, that is your formative years. And that's when I was starting to realize what my sexuality was. And it was fucking awful. Yeah, and I think I've spoken to you guys about it. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, but school camp towards the end of year seven, which is the first year of high school, I tried to commit suicide. We were camping on Phillip Island and just ran out and like they were throwing old scraps of food and stuff they dug out of the bin, all the guys all at once. No one was standing up, and just I cracked and like just ran out and swam into the ocean and just kept swimming until I until this teacher from another school saw me and swam out and got me.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole thing of blame, which doing research now, the blame that you put on yourself. So for years after that, I blamed myself for running into the ocean, because then the rest of high school, I got bullied for trying to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I was saying to myself, oh no, and I'd say to them, oh no, I was just swimming.
Like, bullied for.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Isn't it fucked up that kids can see that happen and then keep pushing it? But I still blame myself, and I convinced myself that that wasn't what I was trying to do. Yeah. And I was just trying to get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until as an adult seeing a therapist for a long time that I was able to admit, no, that is what I was doing. And it's okay that I was feeling that shit. And the other awful thing when you're blaming yourself is you don't go and seek help.
No, that's it.
So I never really was that honest. My parents knew that I wasn't having a great time, but I would always try and hide it from them about how bad it was. And I would try not to go to teachers if I could help it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to upset my parents. I didn't want to make them feel ashamed. Mm. And I didn't want to admit that I was partially involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fucking horrific, the shit that people go through while they're turning into adult human beings.
Yeah.
And it does give you trust issues. And there was days in school, like I would put on a happy face for mum and dad and that sort of stuff and put my uniform on and go to school. But there were days where I just couldn't get out of bed and I would have to pretend that I was sick or something like that because I was just so petrified of going into school and seeing these kids. And there are still days, like I'm a confident person when I'm with you guys or, you know, we're at a bar or I'm on stage or whatever.
You're one of the most confident people I know.
Yeah, seriously. But there's still days where I feel like I felt those days when I still, you know, have to call in sick to work. Or
they creep back in.
And I just, you know. Yeah. And so when things like safe schools were coming along, I thought, what a fucking fantastic thing, because it's actually about, it's not even about educating the young LGBTI people about what they are. It's about educating the other kids that see something different and want to bully them. And that's what's so important with these programs, because it means that that they will stop giving them these feelings that they'll live with for the rest of their life.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Wow. Hearing all these stories, I feel so fortunate that I never got bullied at school, I wouldn't say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to 5 different high schools, I think. Mm-hmm. I guess we moved a lot and like I had a whole thing with my parents, like custody battles and things like that. So I was bouncing a lot between the two. And there was a kid that was an asshole to me. And it was the gay kid. It was the one... Like,
it's because he knew you were gay. That's why.
But like, yeah, it's like, I don't think I ever kind of showed my gayness in school. Yeah. Like, I always kind of played it very safe. And I don't think I even realized till like maybe year 11 or 12. I guess I kind of came to the school and I kind of mixed with his friends. I was kind of like the guy that made friends with all different kinds of groups of friends. So I was kind of friendly with everyone. But I think he didn't like me being friends with his friends.
Mm.
And it's so weird because I literally saw him two days ago.
I was going to say, did on a tram.
Yeah, I literally saw him on my tram and he absolutely knew who I was. And he just looked completely the other way. And it was so awkward because it was such a crammed tram. And I had to get up and literally push past him as he looked in the opposite direction. I'm like, you fucking asshole. You know who I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, but... Mm. Very fortunate to not have horrible bullying stories like you.
But interesting that you mentioned that guy, though. There is also situations, and it's not for every person that's been bullied, but some people, once they've been bullied, can become the bully and sort of become the vicious cycle. People grow up different ways and adapt different ways. So it's quite possible if he was gay that in his formative years,
absolutely. And then he's kind of taking out on someone he sort of sees
that as how you get popular or whatever, or how you survive. So he started doing that, and that's why he picked on you when he saw another guy that he thought might be gay.
So. What I'm just realizing is that none of you guys came out in high school, did you?
No.
Year 11, I told some close friends.
Okay. Yeah. I had a girlfriend in year 12. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because I came out when I was 14.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because
there was no hiding it at all. All through primary school, all through high school, everyone was just like, you're gay, you're gay, you're gay, you're a faggot, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know what? I fucking am.
Just claimed it,
What else do you want from
That's
me?
Great. Yeah, right.
I did the same thing as Tom. Like, it was really close friends that I came out to.
Yeah.
Because those were the only people that I thought potentially wouldn't beat the shit out of me. But talking about school in general, the thing that really sticks out to me and thinking back on it is I can remember the kind of social engineering. I can remember the hiding of like who I truly am, and I can remember bullying and fights and things like that. But the thing I can't actually remember that closely is being taught anything. I can't remember. I can't remember.
And it shows.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember the classes I went to. I don't remember what I actually studied and learnt because so much of my time was engulfed by the social dynamics of trying to survive in this environment. And I've said it before, and I think that's one of the most important things about programs like the Safe Schools Initiative, is if we can allow young LGBTQIA plus kids to purely focus on schoolwork rather than having a huge amount of their mental energy devoted to trying to survive every single day, then they enter the real world, quote unquote, in a much better position than
I actually disagree a little bit, because I think part of school is learning how social dynamic works. As someone that went to an all-boys school, I'm so strongly against same-sex schools now, because I think if you're trying to give your kids the best opportunity to learn how to survive in the real world, I mean, I think about some of the guys, how they would talk about women at our school, because they didn't know any.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what kind of awful assholes they would have been to women once they joined the workforce. And I think that part of Safe Schools is actually just about also teaching them what is socially appropriate and how to behave around people that are different, as well as the schoolwork as well.
I definitely, it's a social environment and like that part is super important, and you're going to absorb a lot of that being in school anyway. But like from my own personal experience, I never was able to commit to my studies 100% because I was exhausted all the time.
Yeah,
If you're coming home and being like, fucking hell, I got to figure out how to be white. I got to figure out how to be straight. I got to figure out this and that. You just don't give a shit about science or the mangroves, for example.
I still don't give a
shit. Still don't know what that is. And I think back and go like, I'm in a pretty decent job now. It's taken me 15 years to get there.
Yeah.
If some of that load was taken off of me by having a support system in place at school and a better environment for me to just chill out and do the work, maybe it wouldn't have taken me 15 years to get to where I am.
One quick thing I'd really just love to say for anyone listening that does still feel like that they are feeling the effects of school, or even if you are at school and listening to this, to do some research about it, read some stuff about it. And because I feel like once you sort of see the correlation that everybody has that went through this kind of childhood trauma, which can lead to things like substance abuse and depression and all that sort of thing, social anxieties or fears of being alone, all sorts of different things. If you sort of feel like you're having those feelings and you did have a bad time at school, do some research about it. You'll feel better about the fact that it's not your fault and that lots of other people have gone through it as well. And then go and get help when you're ready to go and do that.
So I have this really weird habit of imagining what ifs in my life
and
like sliding doors moments, right? And I've been thinking like how happy and like stable I am with Duncan, and it's been like over a year and stuff now. But before that, I was single for about 5 years, I think. And I had like a big stint of long-term relationships, like 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. And then there was this one guy before Duncan that had such a big kind of impact on me. Well... I met this guy and he had really dodgy photos on, I think it was Grindr or Hornet or something. And I was like, there's no chance this guy's real.
Dodgy how? Sorry.
Like they were just like really like cropped like the corner of his face or like half. And I was like, oh, this could go either way. I met him and he was like insanely handsome. And like we had like such a connection. I was so into it. Had such a good date. And we saw each other every day basically for around, I guess, 3 weeks. And he told me things no one had ever really told me before. Told me how special I was and how excited he was to meet me because he had just moved to Brisbane from Sydney. And he wanted to introduce me to his friends and family back home in Scotland. We went to Noosa for a long weekend. It was all going really well. And then after we got back from Noosa on the third week, he kind of told me that it wasn't working for him and he wasn't ready to settle down.
Aww.
And it completely destroyed me. I was just so shocked. I thought like this guy was the one and I was kind of went into hiding. I couldn't face the world. And then he started messaging me again after he ended it with me and started Snapchatting me and like in a friendly way.
How long after?
like a week after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe he's not ready for something, but I kind of convinced myself that this guy is something special. So this is just a hiccup. Like he's obviously still interested. So I was desperate to like try. So I just started messaging back like nothing had happened. And we kind of started dating again, but under the guise of like friends. He met my whole family and it was going so well. But like we never kind of said what we were.
Yeah.
And then we kind of started hooking up again. Looking back, it's just like he put me in so many horrible awkward positions, I guess. I have this like flashback of me, because he was originally from Scotland. I remember him talking about all the junk food and stuff he used to eat. And I hunted down this like specialty shop and bought him like all his favorite treats.
Oh, that's so romantic. Oh my
yeah. God. And then I waited in a thunderstorm for him. He was late, just didn't even like turn up. Like I waited an hour in a thunderstorm with no umbrella with all these things for him. And yeah, I was like so devoted and like obsessed with this guy. And it was my final year of uni. I based my whole art show, my final graduation show on something like he had a tattoo of, like it was like a saying, I can't even remember what it was now, but and he was supposed to come.
Oh, this is so two things I hate about you.
It was so and he knew my family, and I was like, look, I'm just gonna be persistent because this, I'll make this work, this is obviously destined, we're gonna be together. And he uninvited me to a party. I think like he was like, oh, like it's just not gonna be that many people, and then I'd see on social media that like there were heaps of people there. And I got really emotional, and I was like, that's it, I'm just saying everything I feel. I wrote him like a 10-page like fucking essay.
Oh my god, Kai.
And he kind of just said, what are you talking about? We're just friends. And completely disregarded me. Just pushed me aside and acted like I was insane and I'd fabricated all of this in my mind, and I've never felt worse in my whole life. And it's so messed up because I had a 2-year relationship previous to whatever this was, but I feel like I felt more for this guy than I did ever for the guy before that I was with for 2 years. It was just like bright and fast, and it sounds so stupid, but I got into like a huge public fight with him in a club. It was like a Halloween party or something.
I do love a fight in a gay
bar. Yeah, it was so he had a pre-drinks kind of party and I was invited, and then he kind of last minute uninvited me.
Yeah, right.
And so he was like, I'll just see you at the club. So I was so sad and got so drunk. Yeah. I think I mixed cider with vodka or something and I got hammered, and I was dressed as a vampire. I got like pulled by bouncers in a vampire costume, just crying on the side of the road. It was horrible. Cut to like a month later, and he's in like a serious relationship with like an Instagram model.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on a side tangent, but fights at gay bars. Do you remember, Luke, you'll probably remember, how they used to have, you're old and lonely.
Oh.
Do you know how they used to have those heavy glass ashtrays in the smokers area at the Peel? Yeah, yeah. Do you know why they don't have them anymore? Because a certain comedian who I used to be friends with had a long break, and every weekend they would get into punch-ups at different gay bars and stuff. And one time I'm out in the smoking area chatting to this friend of mine, having a cigarette next to that big brick wall, and like 2 inches from my head, a glass ashtray just shatters against the wall. It was meant for him, but he couldn't throw because he's gay. And I don't want to play like the older, wiser gay thing here or anything like that or whatever, but I've had, you know, things that have lasted a couple of months like that and that sort of thing, and some of them have ended awfully and some of them have sort of fizzled out and that sort of thing. The Russian that I was telling you about that I was dating for a while, that sort of fizzled out. I had gigs on every weekend for like a month, and then we didn't see much of each other, and I think he sort of realized that that's not the relationship for him if I'm going to be traveling and that sort of shit. But I think you sort of start realizing that those sorts of things that don't work out, the ones that go for a few months or whatever, it's fine. It's learning curves.
And I do feel like
you learn from them. Yeah. You're better off for having them, but you don't need to regret them. If it was supposed to happen, it would have kept happening.
Absolutely. It's just the thing that sticks with me is just that horrible feeling of being disregarded and being like, no, you're crazy. You imagine everything. What are you talking about?
No, he obviously had some. Well, look.
And I was like, was I delusional? But I'm like, no, you were telling me these things. You met my family. You were saying what an amazing guy I was this whole time.
Do y'all ever think, because you've told the story, right, about the guy that like put a carrot in your letterbox and like got into your apartment?
Oh yeah, that was my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, do you ever feel like maybe you're that guy to
someone else?
Yeah, true.
Because that guy seemed like pretty
No, this was different. This was absolutely different.
You did an art show about this guy's tattoo.
That's when he was invited to it. When we were together. It wasn't the same.
I think you raise a good question, though, Luke.
Relationships are tricky waters. Yeah. And in the seven seas, there are no rules. Yeah. We're all pirates. Since the apps have come into existence. The dating world has changed because your opportunities have expanded and you meet people quicker and easier. That, you know, these... I'm really trying hard not to say back in the day. But
back in the day,
you would have like a 3-year relationship with someone. And sometimes it felt like maybe the life for me because I don't have an app where I could meet 50 more people.
Yeah.
And most of the circumstances where I've had a like fizzle out, I think young people call it like a fizzle out the cool relationship.
Oh, yes, cool. I've heard of it. Cool. The kids these days, they fizzle out.
Most of that scenario has either been because I was a total fucking mess or because they had like some side hustling going on.
Yeah.
It comes down to this weird bachelorette situation where they have the five candidates and they go, well, now I've led these five people on for 3 months. I got to pick one I actually date.
I can't date more than one person at one time. I can have sex with several people at the same time, but actual dating, I sort of feel like as soon as I go into dating someone, you should be going into that with the intention of being with that person forever. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to say to them, I love you, let's move in together or anything like that. But in your mind, I think if you want to test the water to see if you're going to be in a relationship with them, you should spend it the way that you want to spend that relationship. Yes. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Yeah. I had a scenario where me and this guy would do all the relationship stuff. He came to drinks.
Kind of say what it was.
Yeah, he would come to drinks with my friends. We would see each other like 3 times a week or whatever. Mm. I think he moved to Canberra. Mm. So we kind of just said, see you later. That was fine. Then he came back. We started talking again, started doing the exact same pattern, and then randomly got a message when everything to me was going great, saying that, look, I'm just not in the right time of my life for this, so let's just leave it at this. And I was shocked. I was gooped, like you being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, this person knows.
Absolutely. What do you mean?
Knows JB, he knows my bar.
Yeah,
and he's
so involved,
Yeah, but looking back, I was a total fucking nightmare. Like, I was a real I wouldn't be with me if I was in his scenario. That I realized, like, oh, it probably wasn't the right timing, actually. I was just so far in my own perspective that I couldn't see that a big part of relationships is always timing. It's like a classic breakup line that's been told to me many times is right person, wrong time.
Yeah.
That's the case for me for many of these like missed connections.
For me, like before being with Josh, I hadn't been in a proper relationship for probably about 6 years. Dated plenty and like slept around a lot. And I had just moved back to the city at this point in time. I was living in St. Kilda in a one bedroom by myself. And I just got chatting to this guy on Scruff, invited him over. Same thing. Like he had like weird blurry
it's
photos.
It's always a blurry photo.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, maybe he kind of looks okay. Like, let's see what happens. And he came over and I was just like, oh, you're actually like really handsome and you're really nice. All of a sudden, I registered that he had a crazy look in his eye, and I was just like, oh, you're wired right now.
Oh.
Holy shit. Damn. Okay, all right. We had the most incredible sex. Like, it was great. And then, like, this went on for about 3 months.
Yeah.
Wow. And, like, at the time, I was, like, 22. Mm. He was 30. And I was just like, oh, yes, I'm totally into, like, an older man. Let's do this. But slowly but surely realized that this person mentally, financially, and physically was not sane or sound whatsoever. Right. It just got to a point where every time we hung out, it was him just losing his mind, bawling his eyes out. And I was like, have I led this person on? Like, I started to question myself. I'm just like, am I that desperate for a relationship that I've just allowed all these things to continue on and just turned a blind eye to all of it? And I had forced myself to be invested in it because that's what I wanted. I wanted a relationship and I wanted to be with someone older.
You got
to
make it work.
I've got to make this work. Yeah. And then it was just like that all of a sudden realization moment. I was just like, fuck, I fucked up here. This is not what I want.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Oof, it's sports time, fellas. Ooh. I love when we get to talk about sports.
I just love watching you pretend like you know what you're talking about.
One of my favorite things in the world is pretending to know about sports.
Yeah.
I'm watching people's, usually straight men's faces,
like, I don't think we're talking about the same sport.
Realize yeah. that yeah. I do not actually have any sporting knowledge whatsoever. And I kind of like just saying the word sport.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. But there has been an ongoing controversy, and a lot of our listeners have wanted us to comment on this. It's been going for a while, so I do apologize that we're a bit late to the game.
Peppered with sports puns.
But it's been hard to avoid the controversy around the Australian rugby player. I almost said football. Rugby player Israel Folau, who is a Tongan player who had made some comments, well, a number of comments via social media, mainly about hell and who is going there.
Specifically
ding, 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 us.
We have a winner for
The update, like, not to dwell on the details that most people already know, but the update is that the rugby people have decided that this was a gross breach of conduct and actually terminated their contract with Israel.
Which was like quite an expensive contract as well. Was it like was $4 million for a 4-year contract.
According to a straight man that I spoke to earlier today, it is also the year of the Rugby World Cup, which happens every 4 years. What he told me was that Israel, for a lot of rugby fans, was our ticket to the World Cup. A lot of people were writing, if you ask a rugby aficionado who's the one to watch on our team, it was him. And in a lot of people's opinions, we've kind of lost our star player because of this. I hate to make this sound like I'm sympathizing with them, but it's put straight people in a very awkward position where they want to
What a damn shame.
We want to win, but we want to look good.
Yeah,
as well.
This is just us getting back at them for the marriage equality survey.
So they want to support their LGBT brethren, but they also want to win a sports thing really badly. I think the extra layer to this is the argument which we've all had battered over our heads through our coming out process, which is the battle against freedom of speech. Is this an argument for someone being censored for airing their religious views? Is this PC culture gone too far? Or is this a corporation that really didn't have any moral ground to support us as a community doing the right thing and actually making a statement that sports is somewhere where gay people can be? And my 2 cents on this before I handball.
Oh boy. Oh my God.
Handball it up. Is in terms of freedom of speech, I think it's okay to have religious beliefs and to an extent voice them. A lot of people are aware of my belief in that aliens exist and that perhaps they built the pyramids and maybe we should be worshipping some sort of alien deity.
Sure.
But I post about that in a very non-offensive way.
Yeah, in private closed groups.
In private closed groups. And if I ever had a platform, I guess a show to an extent, I'm aware that the things that I post and the things that I say are reaching more than the people in the room that I'm in. Yeah. And that gives me some sort of responsibility to temper my responses and the things that are out in a public forum. No one's asking me not to believe in aliens. But there are people watching and listening to me. And so all
aliens
of
are aliens.
And so I'd like to talk more about aliens. Whenever I do talk about it, it has to be in a non-hurtful way that people on either side, people that ideas may not usually align with mine may not be hurt,
yeah,
or put in, to quote Raja O'Hara, might not feel some sort of way.
Oh boy.
By my statement. God. So I think it's fine to have religious beliefs. I don't think it's okay to be airing extremist views.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you're going to have extreme views.
Yeah. I think once you start excluding somebody else, that's a problem. Look, I think that this result is really fucking exciting. We've talked before about how none of us really feel that connected to sports, and it's probably not so much to do with sports itself, but the culture that comes with sports.
Absolutely.
Australian elite athletes specifically, but elite athletes all around the world, have been disqualified from having their contracts terminated right back to, I mean, iconic older cases like Dawn Fraser and before that as well. And that's because, you know, you're not just there to play a sport. When you're getting paid millions of dollars, you are a representative of the brand that you're standing up for.
Yeah. You're a role model.
And it's just that these codes of conduct have evolved over time. Yeah. So this might be the first high-profile case in Australia of LGBTI discrimination, but it's certainly not the first time that someone has been banned from playing a game for doing something that puts the sport into a bad light.
Yes.
You are being paid to represent that organisation. Mm. And I think it's really exciting that sports teams over the last few years, I mean, the AFL has done some wonderful stuff with the Pride Cup. Lots of teams, Essendon, that have their Purple Bombers and such. The Saints and Sydney have all joined up with similar programs and stuff. It's really exciting that they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they're acknowledging that, you know, this means we have a really bad chance at the World Cup, but it's what we said we were going to do, and we're going to do it. We're not going to let this get away. The aspect you bring up about it being freedom of speech and that sort of thing is also an interesting one, and it's a difficult one to talk about. I think that the gay community, and when I talk about the gay community, there's obviously, you can find examples of it outside of the bubble that we're in, but the majority of the gay community has been really supportive of immigration, and a lot of those people, Muslim people, and you often find in internet forums and trolls online. For example, I worked on the, Wes Snelling organises a wonderful fundraiser each year for the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre, and some of the shit that they copped for it, because there was a lot of drag performers and queer performers, was, oh, you know that these Muslims want to throw you off buildings and that sort of shit. Well, the gay community knows, the majority of us know that that's not what it's about, and the majority of Muslims are incredibly accepting of us as well. It's about this extreme view of saying that somebody's going to die or somebody's going to
have a bit aggressive.
That's where it sort of starts getting into a territory of like, yeah, sure, you can say it, but you're not going to get $1 million a year contract if you do say it.
Yeah. And the pit fires of hell, come on, guys.
Yeah. Like, so aggressive.
Yes.
And I hate that he's playing the victim as well. Oh, like, poor me, I'm just expressing my religious views.
Yeah.
No. I'm like, if you're going to be in that kind of position and you're going to express such extreme views, you've got to fucking pay the repercussions.
Yeah.
You're a role model for these people. Yeah. And so fuck off. No.
Anti-discrimination laws here in Australia. Like, why do you think it's okay just because you're religious to put out those extremist views and think, oh, why am I being penalised? Like, no, you should be penalised.
Absolutely.
I like also that Rugby Australia has stood by their decision.
Yeah.
There was a recent news article where the chairman had basically said, look, this is the decision we've made, and if you think we're wrong, this is like, I feel like I read it in my in a gay voice. And he had said,
the chairman is RuPaul.
And he had said, if you can find a sponsor who would agree to sponsor someone who made these type of comments, or like a team that would stand by them as well, go ahead and find them. Because they ain't out there.
And what an exciting time that sports teams and the people high up in these organizations are saying stuff like that and standing up for
us.
This, I feel like we need to mention the fact that the Footy Show has just been cancelled. Did you guys ever
watch?
I remember, when I was a kid going to my grandparents' place or at mum and dad's place, whatever, the Footy Show was gospel. This is when Australia had four television stations.
Every
there was no Foxtel. And it was, and I remember watching it as a kid, and they would make very homophobic jokes. Yeah. Sam Newman would be making very sexist jokes, racist jokes, and that was totally
boys
acceptable. It was very much like, this is the boys' club. Ladies, if you want to come for the ride, you can, but we'll make fun of you, and no one else is welcome. I think it's a really exciting time. And they've cancelled the show because, and when I was reading the comments on the cancellation of the Footy Show, it was like, it was out of date. Sam Newman was a pig. He didn't stick with the time.
That's it. A great thing to come out of this also is the children that are coming up through sporting families as well. Like, because I grew up in a sporting family. Like, every single one of my brothers and sisters played football. My stepdad was the coach. My mum ran the canteen. There was no stopping any homophobia whatsoever. And like, for kids that are going through the same thing that I went through, they're seeing their sort of superior superiors in that sporting realm being like, nah, this isn't okay.
Yeah,
like,
and it is exciting times. Wasn't there that footballer? We have the first openly gay
soccer player.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, that's great.
Brennan, I believe it was.
Also, what a fucking hypocrite. He was on a cover of a gay magazine in 2014.
What?
Yeah. Yes. Star Observer, beautiful people.
Yeah.
They wrote a
nice article
about us.
Very sadly got into receivership and is for sale. And if anyone wants to buy it and has a bit of money, please buy the Star Observer and keep it going.
Love your work, Star Observer. Never change.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of that called Big Boys and Their Balls. Mm. He is promoting the Bingham Cup and like being a strong advocate for ending all forms of discrimination in sport.
What?
Where he's rocking like a quiff little like bleach blonde thing. I was like, get fucked.
Yeah.
You know, there were also these competing comments from his Polynesian teammates.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Basically saying, if you're going to...
Well, you might as well get rid of all of us.
You might as well sack all of us because we all have these kind of beliefs. Yeah. He's just the one that's posted them and is in this high-level position. So I do think there's like a cultural ingrained religious extremity with these groups that...
I always thought Polynesian people were very accepting of that kind of stuff.
But also
religious. Deeply religious.
Very deeply religious.
Filipino people were the same with... extremely
and it's all down to colonization. But it also goes back to the whole Barry Humphries thing in a way. Have those religious beliefs, but if you want to get those fucking contracts and if you want that money, then don't alienate people, don't say shit about people.
Anyway, I don't mind going to hell.
I mean, like we'll all be there and it'll be like a hot summer party.
We'll be doing live shows.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Our next guest
the
is
production
Satan.
Quality.
Come in, Satan.
Adolf, come on though. So I want to talk to you guys about sex.
Yeah, that's so unlike you.
Now we're going to talk about a fetish. We're going to talk about a fetish in this topic. And as always, I just want to say we're not having a go at anyone that's into this fetish. Mm-hmm. We love fetishes. It's fascinating. This is just something that I've never heard of before. So if I sound like I'm very shocked and surprised at it, not judging anyone that's into it. And it's called financial domination.
What?
Are we aware of this?
No.
Not in a sexual way.
Okay. Well, so there's different variations. The first thing, when I heard the phrase, I actually thought of it in the bad way, which can be a form of domestic violence, which is financial control. It's very much not that. This is somebody that finds it sexually arousing to be dominated by somebody financially, and quite often does not involve any actual sexual contact or even meeting the person that they're being dominated by.
So what you're saying is they have control of their finances
sometimes. Okay. More often than not, though, they take money from the... So there's the slave and the dom. There's different words
fin
for
dom
it.
Fin dom top.
Fin dom. Yeah, there's different words for it, but basically you've got the slave and the dom. Now, the way I found out about this is a friend of mine, a relatively vanilla friend of mine.
Not that vanilla after all.
Told me he had a story to tell me. I said, what is it? He said, for the last several months, I've been a fin dom. I was like, what is that? So this guy got in touch with him through his Instagram and said, I want to send you some money. And the guy, my friend, thought, why not? Here's my bank account details. The guy transferred him $50 and said, can you tell me why I'm shit? Go through my Instagram and tell me why I'm shit. So my friend did.
Okay.
So then my friend quickly realized what this was and did some research on it and has been playing the game for the last several months. So the guy really gets off on my friend telling him what to do and saying, I want money when you do this. And I want this done as well. Now, this particular person is also into drugs and booze as well.
Okay, yeah.
Not the harsher end of the drug scale, the lighter end of the drug scale. So quite often my friend will say, you need to have this drink and then transfer me this, or you need to go out and take a cab tonight and then transfer me this or whatever.
Wow.
I'm going to read you a message. He said, I know I have got full permission to be talking about this, by the way. Cool. No names are being used. I don't know the name of the slave in this situation, but I obviously know the name of the dom, but I'm not going to be mentioning their name either. So here's a message that an example of a message that my friend sent to this guy. So the guy had been out to a sex party the night before and was still a little bit high the next morning. So he starts messaging my friend and my friend said, all right, get all your sex toys out, take a picture of them and send it to me. And so the guy did. So the dom says, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to put that one in the middle in you now. You will send me a picture of you with it in. You're not allowed to move it. It has to stay there, teasing you and not being able to use it to make it go in or out.
Okay.
Then you'll send me $50 for each of the cocks your slut ass took last night.
Wow.
Then, when I can see that money is in my account, I will tell you. You will then take the toy out, take the longest one, and put that in and send me a photo of you pushing it in. Okay. So it's very sexual. It's very like, this is what you're going to do. And there is
this is like playing The Sims.
Yeah. Like, fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like remote, you know.
Yeah,
I get it.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like
a dom. I mean, a very fucked up Sims. I mean, like, not fucked up, not shaming anyone.
Yeah.
Very different to what I'm used to Sims.
Very different to what you're used to. I can definitely tell you that. But it's fascinating, isn't it? And so this is a completely mutual agreement. My friend, this guy also, and it's a very common thing. I've done my research on it now. Also for the sub, they enjoy the thrill of being threatened.
Okay.
So the dom has
doesn't?
Yeah. Well, the dom has now said, right, I want pictures of you with those toys in your ass and your face in the pictures. If you don't send me $150 bucks, I've found your auntie on Facebook and I'll send it to her. Now, obviously, he's not going to.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Part of the thrill of this whole thing is this. So he said this year he's made about $4,000 from this situation. But he also has to be really careful not to just make it about taking money. It's very much a transactional thing. And my friend is putting work into this. Like, he's got to learn what this guy's fetishes are and that sort of thing. So it's almost a sex work kind of a thing, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's not just put money into my account, because then the sub's going to get bored and go find someone else.
Do you have to pay taxes?
No.
That's what I want to know.
No, I don't think you do. Anyway, sign up to our Patreon. And
I was like, can we need to get someone to do this?
Stick a dildo up your ass and sign up to our Patreon, or you're not listening to the podcast anymore. No, but it is. Isn't it fascinating?
You mentioned that some people, there's no like sexual aspect to it as well.
No physically sexual aspect to it. Yeah. Or intimately physical.
Yeah. I could are there examples of people that are just like tell me I'm shit, demand money from me and threaten me without it going to, you know, the butt plugs and
so it's like humiliation.
There's definitely cases where where it's anonymous. There's obviously no photos or videos or anything like that.
Okay.
But it might be more about them being like, go to my Instagram and tell me why I'm shit, or make fun of me for this. But from what I've read, it's very important for the dom to realize what that person's into, and so that the sub doesn't have to specifically request what they're into, because then it's sort of more about them saying, oh, here's your script.
Yeah,
you've got
to
sort of learn what that sub wants as their script
into
to
it.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. As always. Jeez. I mean, this is something that is not exclusive to the gay male community.
Okay. Yeah.
I found some fascinating video. There's a great interview online with a female dom. It's very common in the heterosexual world as well. I haven't found any cases of it in the lesbian world. I'm sure it exists there as well.
So my thought is, like, are these subs people that in their regular lives are dominant over everyone else? And it's sort of like a release situation.
One of the cases that I read, which was an anonymous interview with someone, was a guy that worked in a large company and was quite high up in the company. And he talked about how the feeling of not having control really appealed to him. And this guy was earning really good money and got so broke that he was having to live off rice, was borrowing money off friends and stuff.
Meager and
he actually talked about he was scrolling through Craigslist one time to try and find more, because for this specific guy, he usually lasted a few months with a specific dom, then got bored of them and would find another one.
Yeah.
So he was scrolling through Craigslist to try and find another dom, and found an ad. This is a heterosexual man scrolling through it. Found an ad for a gay guy that was looking to suck a straight guy's dick, and seriously considered doing it just so that he could get some more cash to give to one of his female doms. And that's when he realised that he'd gone too far with it, and he's pulled it right back now and given himself a budget that he's allowed to spend on
it.
But they call it the thrill of the drain. There's a term for it amongst subs. They call it the thrill of the drain of watching your bank account, being scared about paying your bills and stuff like that.
Yeah. What's really fascinating about the fetishes that are on the fringe of society at the moment that haven't really been explored in pop culture and media is that they can actually lead to some dangerous outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't shame any kink, and I think anyone that listens to the show knows I've participated in a number of them. But I have the fortunate position of having a lot of boundaries put in place by pre-existing knowledge within the community. So, you know, hearing about this and not really knowing a lot of information about it, I'm like, well, I could see myself just going crazy if I actually started to enjoy this, you know, because I don't know.
And that's how this guy started. He, this, sorry, the interview interview, not the one that I'm talking about in my friend's case, but this interview that I read, it started very much with just webcamming. And he started chatting to this woman that was like, give me some money. And so he did, and he kind of realized that he was really into directly transferring this woman money. And that's how it sort of developed from there. Now, of course, the gays are very good at then making it easier. We've done it with Grindr, you know, we've done ASOS, you know.
Oh, God, is there an app?
There's a website. There is a website called Owned Fags, O-W-N-E-D. Possession of somebody, and it's called Owned Fags. So you sign up to this website and you register either as a dom or a sub. Mm-hmm. And then you, if you're a sub, you buy tips, which is sort of their e-currency that they use on the website. Now, they've got something called the slave market on there where they can post about themselves, and the doms can pick who they want to dom and that sort of stuff. Mm. The sub then agrees to be the sub to that dom. The dom can give them tasks and say, right, you have to put however many tokens into my account, which then can be directly traded for money. And they might say, you got to send me this picture, you got to send me this video, that sort of thing. If the slave doesn't accomplish their goal, they get put into the dungeon.
Oh, my.
So
this does sound like a video game.
No. So once you're in the dungeon, the slaves aren't able to communicate with anybody else except for the other slaves in the dungeon.
In the dungeon.
But all of the other doms can pick on the slaves that are in the dungeon. Also, once you've agreed to be someone's slave, the dom can read all of your private messages on the website and all that sort of thing. Yeah. And some of them will even give them access to their own face, like private face, because they really enjoy that thread of it becoming, you know, the fear of it becoming public knowledge. They really get off on that, which is a fascinating thought.
The anxiety I'm feeling. Right
I know.
Now.
Just hearing it, I'm like, oh,
it sounds like Habbo. It sounds like that Habbo
Hotel.
Habbo Hotel with doms and subs.
It's really fascinating. And then there's, so they have like masters of the day and slaves of the day. Good job kind of thing, depending on how many tokens received or how many tokens you've given and that sort of stuff. It's a really fascinating world. I can't stop reading about it.
So hit us up at our Patreon.
And we do have our after show, of course, coming up for those of you who have signed up to our Patreon.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't, it's only $6 to get the bonus little
get on it, help us.
And I want to talk on the after show about classism amongst the LGBTI community, but specifically about the gay male community, because I think we can speak best from our own perspectives.
For sure.
And talking about the different kinds of classism that there is. I mean, there's we've got, obviously, you know, financial segregation between different fractions of our community, geographical ones, race ones, all sorts of things. I think the elephant in the room is obviously the podcast that came out recently, the Sydney Gays.
Yeah. Classism.
podcast classism. I think it's poignant to point out that a lot of the backlash from that came about.
Should we stop talking about this? It's like, should we save it
As soon as I start talking, I can't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's right.
Sign up to the Patreon. You can get it retrospectively if you sign up after this episode, but it'll only be for the couple of episodes previous, so you want to sign up now so you don't miss anything. Thanks so much for all being here.
Thanks. Don't forget to subscribe to our socials at Gays Revolting Pod on Instagram or The Gays Are Revolting on Facebook.
And as always, please, please, please give us a lovely review on wherever you listen to
us. Love those lovely reviews.
No, we love the good reviews.
Lovely.
Thank you for the 5 stars, everybody.
Yay. Of course, we do have our Melbourne live show coming up on July 19th. It's our second ever live show, and we're very excited about it at the Mechanics Institute in Brunswick. You can jump onto our socials if you want to find the ticket link for that. Tickets are selling. It's very exciting.
I've been told to see us out. Okay. So we have to leave.
It's normally security asking to see you out.
So see you all next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.